Everybody kind of identifies themselves with Job to some degree. Not everybody had it as rough as he did, and not everybody had it all hit at once. But Job went through a lot of trials in his life. As we'll talk about his livelihood, what he did for his work, his oxen, and what he cared for, his farm that was taken away from his sheep and his camels and his servants. And then probably most important to him, no matter how rich or how important he thought he was, his children were taken from him. And then God gave him boils on his body. And the story of Job is pretty familiar. And Job is talking to his friends. And I've had this conversation with some of my friends before. I don't know how many of you use air quotes. I try not to, but you start using the bunny ears when you talk. And Job says, you know what, your encouragement for me and your wonderful words you're giving me about all my troubles are really helping me a lot. You know, Job was very sarcastic in this speech. He says, you know, great job, guys. I really appreciate that a lot. You know, I could just do this all night. But Job said, I know you mean it for, I know you mean well, the words that you're saying, but they're not helping me out at all. You know, your Eliphaz, the friend who was talking to him, they were vain words. And he said, thanks for the comfort. You know, it wasn't much comfort. It wasn't a very encouraging words they were giving him. And they were telling him, Job, let's think about this. What have you done wrong? You know, what happened in life that has brought you to this low point in life? You know, what have you done that's so wicked? Let's go back over your record and let's look at all that's happened to you and find out what went wrong. And Job said, you know, thanks, but no thanks. That's not really helping me out that much. Verse 4, I could also speak as ye do, if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. And that's one of the measures of Christianity, how far you've come, is what you don't say, is what you don't come back at people with, what you don't react to. I still have weakness in this area. There are certain things people can say to me that I will always react. And I know Dad has areas in his life. He'll talk about his temper. I think I got that from him. But Job said, you know, all that comfort you just gave me, all that stuff you're trying to figure out, what's so wrong with my life, I could just as easily do that in each of your lives, friends. You know, I could say to you, you're not so great, and I could compare myself to you, my friends, and I could find those areas in your life, friends, where you're much worse than I, Job, am. But he said, I'm not going to do that. All of us have a record, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. We all have a record. Some of us, not me, hopefully not me, but a lot of us have a birth record that you wish wasn't on record because it proves that you're old. It proves that you were born a long time ago. But everybody was born, and hopefully in this modern age, we all have a record of our birth somewhere. And after our house burned down, we had to go find our birth certificates, but there was still proof somewhere that we were all born and that the doctor that was there and the parents that got recorded and when and where you were and what name you finally decided on with Aaron. It took a few days, but all that got recorded because it was important. It was important, so somebody wrote it down and stored it and kept it. Your educational record. Again, some of us probably wish it wasn't all written down in a file somewhere, but all those grades from grade school and high school and all those report cards and all those does not play well with others, does not work well with others, those are all on record somewhere. And that's part of our record. You know, that's, unless something happened to the school, we always used to sing that song about the school burning down, but ours never did, and it's all still recorded somewhere. Financial records, again, maybe most of us don't want this to be recorded, but there are, you know, Social Security, income tax, and Larry keeps a record of everybody that has an envelope number or turns in a check. He writes that down so you can get it back on your taxes. Credit record, and I can't remember who was talking about it, but that commercial on TV all the time. I'm thinking of a number. Everybody has a credit rating. Everybody has a credit record. And whether we like it or not, if we've kept the same name and the same Social Security number and we've, you know, stayed the same person in life, we have that record on file somewhere. Our employment record, where we've worked, what happened on the job. I talked about it whenever I preached last night, Wednesday night, about where I worked and some of the near misses I had. And the one time I was loading in a truck and the guy that was driving the truck drove away with me still in it. I think that got written down because it was a safety record. But everybody has their record. That one wasn't my fault. But everybody has a record on file somewhere on this earth, and good and bad, right and wrong, lazy or productive, whatever the case, studious or, you know, doesn't apply themselves, that's all on record here on earth. Marriage record, who you got married to, who the parents were, the witnesses, The pastor that married you, in my case, Dad said he messed up on the marriage record, so he didn't get it straight till the next morning, and that was an embarrassing situation for us. But that was all written down, and we eventually got it all straight, you remember. Medical records, Dad joked about it this morning, but I kind of figured this would happen with retirement, but then he had to catch up on all his insurance coverage with General Motors, so he's going for all these tests and all kinds of documents, and we were coming back. I took him to a test a couple days ago, and he was talking to my mom on the phone and reading the report to her, and I was kind of laughing about some of the words he was mispronouncing, but it was all written there, and, you know, it doesn't make sense to us. I don't know what they mean, you know, but it doesn't make sense to all of us what it all means, but it is written down, and when the right people look at it, just in the same way a financial planner would look at your financial records, or a lawyer would look at your marriage records or your employment record, or an employer would read your resume. A doctor looks at your medical records, and he knows if you had too much cholesterol, or if you were on the heavy side, or how tall or how short you were. He can figure out everything and read that record and understand. Some of us have sports records. This is the first name he has in his notes, Martha Bowling. All right, so Martha must be good at sport. I know this. She's got a bowling record that she's proud of. I know Brother Terry, he bowls a lot. He's not here tonight, but that's something that has a sense of pride in him and an accomplishment. Never in my life, sports anyway, but a sense of accomplishment of a record that you've made for yourself in sports and whatever your hobby is and collecting and the knowledge of what you like to do, that type of thing. Everybody has a record, okay? And Dad's interest was baseball, so he had the stats memorized. And, that was something he took a lot of pride in because he could know the player and know he could about expect what they were going to do because he had that record in front of him. So if you put all these records together, like we said, some of us wish they weren't all in existence, but they are. I got to throw this in. Perhaps others came to your mind, a police record, perhaps. I don't have one anymore, but when I was in college, I had quite a habit of speeding. We cross over state lines for work, and you go from a 55 to a 25 mile per hour, and it'd be like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I didn't notice that I was in a different state, and I got pulled over quite a bit the Monday we left for our honeymoon, which we still dispute this, but the police officer said I ran a red light, which going out of town, and he pulled up my record at that point. Now it's clean, but at that point when he pulled up my record, he's like, you really shouldn't be messing around with this. You're pretty close. So he let me go. But I still swear I wasn't running a red light. And each of us have that record. And in that case, it rolls away after a while, thank God. But you each have a record that you've put it together. To some degree, it might not be everything. There are those moments of life that don't get recorded in a physical way, but it paints a picture of your life to some degree. And it's something that other people can look at. Like we said, I can read a medical record. It makes no sense to me, but to a doctor, they can read a medical record and know exactly what's wrong, based on the testing, based on what's recorded. And those people can look at our records and make a judgment about us, about our character, and about how we've lived our life. And that's what Job's friends were doing. He had three friends who were looking at his record and forming opinions about his life. In this case, they didn't look at Job's good works or his Christianity. They just looked at what was happening to him. It's kind of like we would do, looking at somebody, walking along the side of the road. It doesn't look like they have it all together, and it looks like, they've made some wrong choices in life. If you looked at the life of Job, just at what it all had just happened to him, losing everything, he's sitting there with disease, and they looked at him and said, I don't know what happened to you, man, but obviously something bad happened. Obviously you did something wrong. God's punishing you for something great and wicked that you have done. So they looked at his record and said, God must have been pretty angry at you, Job. God must have had quite a bit of pent-up reaction to what you've done. If you look at verse 18, Job was talking and says, O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. And now, behold, my witness is in heaven, my records on high. Job saying, I know what you three friends are saying about me. I know what your reaction to what has happened to me is. I know you think my record is awfully gross and disgusting and not worth mentioning, and I must have done something really awful. But God has a record in heaven. My record's on high. And Job says, I really wish you could see that record. I really wish you could see. The Bible talked about Job. It said that he sinned in all that happened to him. He sinned not with his lips. He never said anything against God. And Job's innocence, his lack of guilt, his innocence cried for vindication. I know what it's like to get in trouble with mom and dad and know that I'm guilty, and you still kind of wish you could, you know, get away from the punishment. But I also know what it's like, not, I can't think of any situations with my parents, but in life with other authorities, to be in trouble and get punishment coming your way when you don't deserve it, when it really wasn't your fault. You know, you weren't the one that did that, but you're getting the punishment. I always tried to blame my sister, but most of the time she was probably more in that situation than I was, where she was taking the blame for something I had done. But that's what Job was saying here. He said, like, I am innocent. I haven't done anything to deserve this, guys. I'm not being proud and saying I'm better than you, but it's really not that bad. If you look at what's happening to me, I'm not that kind of person. But it looked like God was angry. It looked like Job had done something wrong. And the three friends probably said, well, God is a just God. He wouldn't let something like this happen to someone so good. And a lot of times when you're out talking to people, that's not so much evolution or all the other mysteries of life that they want to argue with you about. They say, well, how can a good God do such awful things to people? And it's a hard thing to answer, but at the same time, we live every day in God's grace. How could such a great, just God give us any good blessings, give us horrible people in our sin, give us anything good? It's just all how you look at it, but that's a lot how Job's friends were saying, well, man, I don't have it that bad. The friend was saying, you know, I don't, that's not that bad in my life. God must really have something in for you, Job. What have you done? What evil have you committed? I know there's some wickedness in your life, Job, you're not telling me about. Confess it. This was their advice to Job. You need to confess your sin, and maybe God will forgive you, and he'll start treating you better. And it's awful easy to do that. It's awful easy to look at people and say, well, they didn't make the right choices. They didn't do the right things in the right order. They didn't, you know, follow after God with their whole heart. I know there's got to be something. There's got to be some explanation why God's putting them through this. And that's human nature to do that. It's human nature to try to figure everything out and to be God for those people and to be the judge in their life. But God used Job to prove us all wrong and to prove to us that despite our record on earth, despite what it looks like, he has a record in heaven. Job was more concerned with his record in heaven. Verse 22 says, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Job said, I'm going and I'm not coming back. So whatever happens to me here on earth, I'm sorry for the trouble. I'm sorry for the grief it's caused you, but I'm headed one direction. Once I get to heaven, I'm not coming back. And the record I care about is where I'm going. I'm headed that direction. That's where my record counts. In Genesis chapter 24, the Bible speaking about Abraham, it says, the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. But think about what Abraham went through. Think about the faith he had to have in God. And a lot of times we condense stories down, you know, to about 5 minutes. So it sounds like it all happened in the same day, kind of like watching a sitcom or a movie. We condense a story about Abraham or Joseph or these great pillars and men of faith and ladies of faith in the Bible, and we squish it all down. Well, something really bad happened to Job, but then you turn a couple pages, and he gets 10 more kids. He gets all his wealth back. God heals his conditions. And we say, well, there's a happy ending. You know, God worked it all out. But if you think about it, Job went through quite a long stretch of his life in the trial. Abraham went through months and years just trusting in what God had told him. God said, you're going to have to leave your home. You're going somewhere, but I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I get lost. I have no internal sense of direction, so I have to have a map wherever I'm going, and I never want to set out on a journey without knowing the end of the destination, because I will be, you know, freaking out the whole time. I'll be paranoid if I don't know where I'm headed. But Abraham had to take that leap of faith, that first step, and really trust God the same way the children of Israel followed that pillar of fire at night and that cloud pillar in the day. They had to follow what God said. And Abraham had to leave his home. Remember again, it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to supply for your family and have something that you have built, that you have made with your hands. That's what Abraham had done. And God said, I want you to leave it all behind. I want you to give it all up. And I want you to leave, just, you know, take your wife with you, but you have to leave that extended family, that sense of security. I want you to leave all that behind. And really, Abraham was kind of like that guy you'd see on the side of the road. He was headed in a direction that God was telling him. If you were to stop him on that journey sometime and ask him what he was doing, he'd say, well, I'm just taking it one day at a time. I'm following after God. And he was tested by God over and over, and it took 25 years for God to keep a promise in Abraham's life. And you even remember the test that God gave him. He said, take your son and go sacrifice him. And again, reading the end of the story, fast forwarding to the end of the show, you know what happens, he's going to be fine. But Abraham did not know that. Abraham thought, God's promise, Isaac, now God's asking me to kill him. And it seems like God's being kind of mean and kind of vindictive in doing that, but he had something greater in store for Abraham. And the same thing tonight. God's got something greater in store for each of us. Our record, good or bad on earth, is not what you should be concerned with. Of course, a good testimony. And Job had an excellent testimony. As I said, the Bible said he did not sin with his mouth. He had a great testimony. That's why God chose to use him. And don't ever downplay keeping yourself usable for God, because God is more likely to use somebody that is following after him. It's kind of, I mean, there are opportunities that come into your life. You're going to get those opportunities because you're following God step by step, day by day. So Job kept his testimony clean, and he said, you know, this record that's been created for me wasn't my doing. God has something greater for me. And the Bible says, as it's talking about Abraham, that the Lord blessed him in all things. So it is impossible for us to determine what's a blessing and what is punishment unless it comes down to our own conscience. But God is preparing us. Everything that happens in your life, the loss of a loved one, a sickness, everything that happens in life could be part of God blessing us in all things. And the Bible talks about all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good, because all things are not good. That's pretty easy to disprove. But it does say they all work together for good. They blend together and make our lives into, if you've heard the illustration, a tapestry. God takes all those different parts and weaves them together and makes them into good. God does that. That's only what God can do. Anytime we take a piece of what God has given us and try to change its purpose, which Job did not do that. He didn't say, well, you guys are right. I need to stop everything I'm doing. I need to go into, you know, I need to go find out what's wrong with me, because Job already knew he was following after God. But that it's all about what he was worried about. Job said his record is on high. He said, you can go ahead and look at my testimony and go ahead and make your opinions. He didn't care about what his friends thought, because he knew his heart was right with God. And it's not arrogance. There's a difference between being arrogant and between trusting in God. And it's hard for humans to tell a difference sometimes. Sometimes you'll look at somebody who has, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, zeal, you know, has a zeal for God and really wants to serve him. And sometimes those people come across as obnoxious and arrogant, and they get in your face and they don't have it, you know, they don't have it all laid out exactly how they have a lot of zeal without much knowledge, but they're headed in the right direction. And it's impossible for us to look at somebody and say, well, is your motivation right? You know, are you here for the right reason? Are you, when we sing or when people speak or people go out in the world, the way the clothes they wear, the way they present themselves, it's impossible to say, well, that person, you know, that person doesn't mean it. He or she's just doing it for the show. He or she's just doing it for the recognition. I would just tell you tonight, leave that to God. You know, it's so easy to say, well, God won't bless that. God won't have anything to do with that. But God used all kinds of horrible people in the Bible. If you read about them, God used fornicators, he used perverts, he used a lot of people in the Bible, but God will use anybody. It's hard for us to say. And again, testimony is important. God is much more likely, and he can use you to a greater extent, like he used Job, a person that keeps himself clean. But I remind you, he also used Samson, who just took every wrong turn he could. God still used him to accomplish a purpose. God's not limited by what we give him. He can accomplish a lot more. He can accomplish a lot more, but God can still use a sinner. He uses all of us, and we're all sinners. The point there is that Job said, the record I care about, it's in heaven. So don't put people in categories. Don't be like Job's three friends and say, well, of course it's true. Of course he's got something wrong in his life, because this wouldn't be happening otherwise. And there again, get the sin out of your life. And I think that's probably the first thing Job did, was made sure his heart, again, renewed his faith in God and renewed his heart and confessed his sin. And that's why Job kind of, we would say, arrogantly told his friends, I've already got that covered. Because that first relationship, the most important thing is my worship with God, my communication with God. And in this case, Job's three friends probably said, well, God can't bless you now, Job. That's not a blessing in your life. But in Job's case, in Abraham's case, the Lord blessed him in all things. All right, so what God cares about is our record in heaven, and it ought to be of concern to everybody here. I talked about it Wednesday, but it's hard to balance real life and spiritual life, and we're all supposed to be in the same boat and thinking about it all the time. But it's easy to get distracted and say, well, the most important thing right now is getting, you know, making sure my son has something to eat, or caring for my wife, or making sure that that I have something to eat. You know, whatever's most important to you that second. It's important you have physical and spiritual needs that come up, and you want to make those things first. But the priority should be what God thinks of you, what God's record is that he keeps in heaven. And there's too many people worried about those other records. And yes, it is important. And that's the thing in the Christian life. It's not about throwing away, you know, 90% of your life and focusing on the 10. It's about making the right priorities and the word balance, about balancing your life so you can follow God. I don't know if in my adventures in doing laundry, if you get a washing machine out of balance, you're not accomplishing anything. If everything's on one side or the other, it starts dancing around the room and it's not balanced. And in our own lives, we don't have that balance of thinking what's important to God and how our outward testimony is to one another, then we won't accomplish anything for God. If we're constantly focused on one or the other, we won't get anything done. So it's having that balance, having the right priorities. We've heard it said, but 1,000 years from now, it won't matter what you wore or what you ate for dinner today or what kind of house you lived in or how many TVs you had or how many bathrooms you had or how much space you had or what kind of car you drove or, you know, the jewelry ladies or, you know, how many, if you had pierced ears or not. That's not going to matter 1,000 years from now. But that record in heaven, and a lot of our earthly records might be tore up by then, but that record in heaven will still be there. Of course, the most important thing is being saved. There ought to be a time in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior. Again, Job went back and said, well, I know my trust is in God, and that was the most important thing. And in each of our cases, if we don't have that foundation to go back to and say, well, I know I'm saved, this is when I did it, this is the verse I read, or I'm trusting in the promises of God's Word. Again, having that knowledge that goes along with the zeal, if we can't go back to that point, then we really do have no anchor, no place to go back to. Job had that core belief in himself. He went back and said, I trust God, I follow him. Job had a faith in God, and each of us need to have that in our life. It's a yes or no decision. It's either yes, accepting Christ, or no, rejecting him. If you haven't done that, now is the time. It should have been. You could say, well, I wish I had it to do over again. I wish I could have done it 20 years ago. Well, do it now. Now is the time. You can't ride the fence on this one. There's no middle ground. You know, we talk about politics all the time. It's amazing to watch people do acrobatics and try to make everybody happy. You know, let me think about that answer for a while and I'll get back to you. But with God, there's no middle ground. There's no way to please everybody. And accepting Christ, you're not going to make everybody happy. But it's not going to matter 1,000 years from now if everybody was happy with you. It'll matter if you're in heaven or hell. So what does your record say about your salvation? What's on record in heaven? Does God look at our record and say, well, they were awfully concerned with earthly things. They weren't very concerned with whether or not they were headed for heaven. And it'd be a shame to go from here, a Baptist church that preaches the gospel every service, that I can't ever think of a time when my father hasn't stood here and given the gospel. It'd be a real shame, and just as much as anywhere else, but to leave the opportunity you have here to get saved and to go to hell from here. It'd be a real shame. So what does your record say about your salvation? What does it say about God's word? Again, heaven and earth shall pass away, but these words shall not pass away. What does your record say about the word of God? How much of it is in your heart? I like that we have memory verses. I like that there's a corporate effort to read the Bible and a corporate effort to pray and a corporate effort to worship. Sometimes we call it a worship service. But there again, it's just a little sample of what should happen in our life every day. You know, we leave an hour service here of singing about heaven and reading a little bit of scripture and listening to a great sermon, I'm sure, from Dad every Sunday. But that's a little taste of the full extent that we should do in our own life and say, God, that was what you had for me that hour. That was what you have for me for this day. But give me something new. Monday morning, you wake up, you need some more truth out of the Word of God. Because if you don't return to that foundation of the truth of God's word, then you have nothing to stand on. And Job had that firm belief because he knew the word of God. He knew what God had told him. God had revealed to him. And it's an instruction manual. It's sometimes hard to understand, but you know the author. And there again, if you don't know who wrote the book, if you're trying to just come at it from a clinical standpoint and look at it without knowing God, it is confusing. But if you get to know the guy who wrote it, if you get to know the author, and then say, God, help me understand what you have for me. Maybe I don't need to know everything on the page, but give me what you have for me for today. So, the Word of God. Where do you stand on telling others? Again, and it's hard to balance it all and say, I want to make this an important part of my life. But in 1,000 years, it won't matter the time you spent trying to figure out how the world works or all that other stuff that takes up your time. It'll matter who you told about Jesus. It definitely will matter to that person that you did or did not tell. You've probably heard the story about the boy throwing the starfish. The surf would come up and wash the starfish up on the beach, and he'd bend over and throw one in. And there were thousands of starfish, and he would every now and then bend over and throw another one back. And a critic, an older man, said, son, you could be out there the rest of your life throwing starfish. You're not going to get them all. And he said, well, you're probably right. I could probably be out here every day trying to throw all these starfish back in the water, and you're probably right. But he picked up a starfish, and he said, it's really going to matter to this one whether he gets back in the water or not. And that's the truth for each of us. I'm not going to reach the whole world. I think God left us here to reach the world, but it's going to be everybody trying to reach everybody. But it's sure going to matter to that friend or family member in your life, that one that God put at your feet to witness to. It's sure going to matter to that one. And that's the truth that God leaves with us. He's saying, I know it's important. I know your family is important. I know caring for the needs of yourself, the needs of the world, and getting everything straight and being a good testimony and all those things are very important to you, but it's also very much more important much later on. It's much more important when this life is over that you told somebody about Jesus, that those people that God put in your path, that when you pray, and we pray and ask God to put people on our path, and then we're surprised when God answers our prayer and they put somebody right there. He wants you to talk to them. He wants you to break out of that comfort zone and talk to somebody about Jesus. And having a heart to do that, crying over your family, begging God, asking God to give you those souls and asking him to let you lead them to him. When Abraham's servant, when he was going to find a wife for Isaac, the Bible talks about he stood in the way. God told him where to go, and he waited until God's will came across his path. And that's really, God doesn't make it complicated. It's kind of like a difference between something being complicated and just hard work. Pastor I had in college talked about his dad would train him to trowel cement. And once they get in a rhythm, in a cadence, it wasn't that complicated. It was just the same repetitive action. A lot of jobs that we work are just repetitive action. It's not complicated. It's not, 14 steps to figure out. It's just hard work. It's just showing up and doing the work. And Abraham's servant was just there where God wanted him to be when when the wife for his master's son came through. And it's up to us to let God direct us. It's not up to us to accomplish all the steps and, make that grand scheme and grand plan come to pass. It's up to us to follow after God and do what he has for us to do. Day by day, step by step, doing what God has for us for that moment. So it said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So that's my challenge. That's what Dad had for you tonight, is get in the path where God wants you to be. Most of us are trying to figure out the whole picture. We're trying to see that whole weaving of our whole tapestry, the final product of our life, and we're less concerned with, God, am I right where you want me to be today? And that's where it's not going to matter. Like Job said, it's like I went off on a tangent about judging other people or saying, God can't bless that, or God's not in that. It's not going to matter what we think. Either God is or he's not, but where the problem comes in, and this is the same thing with sin, your specific sin still nailed Jesus to the cross. Whether it's a lie or the most perverted thing on earth, it still was a sin. It still put Jesus on the cross. So your sin in your life today, being saved, as Dad talked about this morning, once saved, always saved, in 1,000 years from now, it's not going to matter the sin you committed. It's going to matter that you weren't in the path where God had for you to be. It's just the fact that sin is a distraction from getting you where God wanted you to be, from being in the way so God could use you. To God, really, he's just saying, well, there's something in their life. I wish they'd get it out so I could use them. And even the illustration I use, once Samson yielded himself back to God, God put him back in the path. He said, would you just get it out of your life so I can use you again? And there again, what we judge, what we say, God is in it or he's not, whether or not he can bless, it's not going to matter. It doesn't matter to God because either it is blessable or it's not, but it's a distraction. It's you taking your time that God gave you and using it to judge somebody else instead of you taking your time that God gave you and being where God wanted you to be. If I'm driving down the road and I'm judging the guy next to me, or sometimes Laura and Sierra pass me on the road. So if I'm constantly watching how Laura drives, making sure she's obeying all the rules, I'll probably end up in the ditch because I'm not headed in the right direction where I was headed in to begin with. And if we spend our life judging others and trying to make sure, like Job's friends were doing to Job, trying to make sure they're making every step right, we're not leaving ourselves open to the direction of God. So that's the main thing. You might be the greatest person on earth, but if we're not listening to what God has for us, then he can't use us. You could be the scumbag or the next to Jesus, the most righteous person that ever lived on earth, but if we're distracted by something, be it sin or be it judging another person, then God can't use us just as much equally, just as equally as if it's sin or judging somebody else, which is sin, but God can't use it either way. So Abraham's servant cleared it out. He made his right priorities, and he waited in the way for God. And again, we like to condense it all down and say, well, Job had a bad day, everything went horrible, and then it all passed by, and then God made it all better, and it all works out in the end. And it does work out in the end of our life, but we're here in real time. You know, we can't fast forward or skip to the end. God will work it out to good, but he just wants us day by day to set aside those distractions, those sin, and those looking at others and trying to make everybody else right with God and make our heart right with God, get our worship and our service and everything else in the same vein where God wants us to serve. Again, God laid it on Dad's heart to bring this to you, and it's a reminder for all of us. What matters the most in life? What record matters the most? Again, we'd probably like to get rid of some of it on earth, but it's not going to matter. It's going to matter if we were where God wanted us to be when that opportunity came, when that training meets opportunity, when those two meet up, and God says, I prepared you for this. You're ready to serve me. Here's your starfish. Here's the person in the way that I want you to care about. This is what I had in mind for you. And if we can yield ourselves to God, just like Job did, and say, you know, God gave it all, God took it away. I'm going to trust in God, and God will use me the way he used Job. God will use each of us in the same way. God spoke to my heart like I prayed. I know that God had given Dad this sermon, and I was listening to what he had for me, and I just pray that's the truth tonight, that we'll just set aside those distractions, set aside the sin, set aside the judging of others, and we'll say, God, today, every day, just show me where you want me to be so you can use me to do what you have for me to do. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for it doesn't matter how adequate we are, and just as was proven tonight by your word, the word of God, we can take it and use it and share it with others. And I pray that you'd make us what you want us to be, that you'd clean up our lives, that we would have a good testimony so we can do more for you, but that we would set aside all the distractions and just say, God, show me, bring those people in my life that you want me to talk to. Give me your words and let me be a witness for you and help me keep the right priorities. Help me realize my record's not here on earth. It's going to pass away, but it's in heaven. I pray to be with the invitation tonight. Again, Lord, just help us to deal with our hearts, get our path set in the right way, and that we'd be open and surrendered to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name.